You'll find our reading in the book of Acts, and I'd like to read two verses in chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, I like what a young preacher was told. His name was Gideon, and he said to someone, he said, I feel so ignorant, so unworthy to preach. And the older fellow said, well, do you know what the problem is? Do you know what man's disease is? He said, yes, I do. And then the older preacher said, and do you know the cure? And he said, yes, I do. He said, all right, then go and preach these two things, the problem and the cure. The problem and the cure. He said, never mind the rest. And that there's a lot of wisdom in that. If you know the problem and the cure, that's the main thing. And the main thing is to keep the main thing, amen? And that's certainly the main thing. I love this quote from Robert Murray M'Cheyne, the Scottish preacher. He said, what did we sign up for if it wasn't to spread the gospel? And that's right. That's what we signed up for. That's what it means to be a Christian. And that's our duty. That's our privilege every day. We want to look a little further in our study of New Testament missions. This is the fourth message in the series, and I hope it'll be a blessing to someone tonight. Acts 13. I just want to point out something maybe you didn't notice as we've already looked at this chapter. But please notice in verse 5, it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And then in verse 14, it says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. I don't know if you noticed the reference to the synagogue the first time that we looked at this chapter. There were synagogues there in verse 5 and the synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia, verse 14. So here's the Apostle Paul. He's traveling on missionary journey number one, and he comes to some of these cities, and they already have synagogues. He's there to start a church, and they already have a church of sorts, a Jewish synagogue, and that leads us to ask some very important questions. So we want to pray and then speak on the subject of four kinds of churches. Four kinds of churches. I believe every church in the world tonight would fit into one of these categories, and every Christian that we'll mention tonight. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another Lord's Day that it's been our privilege to enjoy. Thank you for the health, the strength, and desire to be at church this evening. For every need, we pray thy will, thy grace. Lord, prepare our hearts for the trials and the temptations that surely lie ahead in our pathway. Lord, we need all that you can give us, all that you can teach us, in every way that you can prepare us and fortify us, we need it. We want to pray for your churches everywhere in this nation, around the world, that they'll be true, that they will obey the Great Commission. Lord, that you'll find us faithful. Prosper thy work, Lord of harvest. Send forth labors. Help us to be the light we ought to be every day, each of us, all of us. May your will be done. Bless and challenge. Do an eternal work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Four kinds of churches. These synagogues that the Apostle Paul encounters on his journeys calls us to ask some questions. In other words, does there need to be another church here? There's already a synagogue here. Why aren't these Jewish synagogues doing something? I mean, they were teaching the Old Testament. They were there to be a light to the Gentiles. The whole purpose of God calling the nation of Israel to be his people was that they might be a light to the Gentiles and diffuse the knowledge of God and have a positive impact. But apparently, these synagogues were doing next to nothing. They certainly were not making a radical difference. So why did Paul have to go anyway? And why weren't these synagogues evangelizing? So, number one, there's the church that reaches their own city, but that's about it. And that would be these synagogues if they even did that. And we reminded the church at Jerusalem. Yes, the church at Jerusalem. The main church where Pentecost took place. Just keep on reading how slow they were to evangelize. Even when the persecution came, all the apostles still stayed there. They had, for one thing, there was a prejudice against Gentiles that lasted for many years. There was a great fear as well because of the persecution and opposition. So, first of all, there are churches in this nation, around the world, they're pretty much reaching their own city, but that's not it. They're not involved in missions. You can't really talk them into it. It's not their thing. They're short-sighted. No vision and no influence abroad. One preacher said years ago, our compassion has a broken wing if it can't fly across the ocean. And there are many churches, thousands of churches, that never think about other countries. Never pray for Africa, China, India, Europe, South America, Australia, Antarctica, everywhere. But didn't our Lord say, go ye into all of America? No. He said, go ye into all the world. He said, the field is the world, and God so loved the world. But a lot of churches are short-sighted. It's not enough to reach our own Jerusalem. Jesus didn't say that. He said at the same time, reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1:8, his last command. He plainly said to a little group of men, long before there was any modern means of travel or communication, he looked at a few people and said, take this gospel to the whole wide world. Wherever there's people, every street, every house on that street, everybody in that house, you make sure they hear about me and how to be saved. That's pretty big orders. That's what he said. Most churches ain't doing that. It's not enough to feed ourselves. Jesus said, you remember, just before he fed the multitude, he said to the disciples, you feed them. Give you them to eat. Mark 6:37, Jesus said, I'll do the miracle, but you take the bread from my hands and you distribute it to the hungry multitudes. Jesus was saying, I'm not doing this by myself. I could, but I'm not. I'm going to let you help. I'm going to let you distribute. And Jesus said, I'll save everybody that believes on me, but church, you're going to have to go preach to them. You're going to have to print the Bibles. You're going to have to support the missionaries. You're going to have to pray the men into the ministry. I'll do the miracle. You do the distributing. And it's been that way. And sometimes the churches have succeeded, and most of the time they failed through the generations. If you've studied church history, you know what I'm talking about. So there's the first kind of church that says, okay, we'll reach around our church, but we don't care if the world goes to hell or not. Then secondly, there's the kind of church that says just the opposite. It says we're going to support missionaries around the world, but we're not going to reach our own Jerusalem. We'll let somebody else do that. Oh, we'll send the money, but we're not going to witness to our own neighbors and co-workers and family. No, we're supporting missions around the world. But folks, it doesn't matter if you gave $1 million to support missionaries around the world. Praise God, but that you're supposed to still reach your own community. Amen. Your own family and friends. The preacher said years ago, the crying need of our day is hot-headed. Somebody said that a while ago. Hot-hearted, sin-hating, God-fearing witnesses, determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. You ought to be a missionary yourself. Amen. Everybody that's saved, 1 cent. 1 cent. Missionary means 1 cent. God the Father sent God the Son, then God the Son sent God the Holy Ghost, and God the Holy Ghost sends you. We're all sent. We're all sent. I like what one little boy said. Back in the days of D.L. Moody, he walked to church. He walked to Moody's church in Chicago, and he walked past a church on his way to get to his church. And somebody said to that little boy, why don't you go to that first church? It's closer. Why do you go all the way to Moody's church? Why do you walk all the way to his church? He said, because they love little boys like me down there. That's why I go. Amen. That's what everybody ought to be able to say. They love sinners like me. Hey, we ain't better than nobody. I said, we ain't better than nobody. But for the grace of God. They love little boys like me. You know what the devil tell you? He tell you, nobody wants to hear that. Don't you even bother. Don't you even pray. That's not so. Just read this chapter here. Multitudes of people getting saved. Not everybody, but thank God some. Some. If you go fishing, you'll catch something eventually. It may be a while. You might just catch a cold, right? But the Bible says if you go, then you'll bring in the sheaves eventually. How sweet it is when somebody finally gets saved. Amen? How sweet that is. So multitudes got saved here. Here's the amazing thing, too, about this chapter, is these people getting saved here. This is the first time they ever heard the gospel. Yeah. You know, we're living in a day today when people think, well, you can't get saved till you hear it about 15,000 times. Not so. Not so. The first time you hear it and believe it, and there's a drawing of the Lord on your heart, you can get saved. Praise God. Sooner the better. The sooner the better. So people will be saved. They can be saved. And notice there's no gimmicks here in this chapter. These two fellows, they just go and preach and expect God to honor that and see people get saved and a nucleus of people come together and God call a local man to be their preacher. And the church grow and learn and serve and be a light. And that missionary go on somewhere else and start another church. And God do the same thing again. And there's no free camel rides here. And there's no show going on here. Just preaching and praying. And brother, it worked. And it'll still work without any gimmicks or any gadgets. Yeah, we're living in a day today when churches are in the entertainment business and people have itching ears and they want their preacher to give them a little feel-good sermonette. That's not what we need. Just tell me the truth, tell it like it is to people like they are and expect the Holy Ghost to do the convicting and Jesus to do the drawing. And I'm very fearful of these campaigns today where there's a lot of holy smoke going on and the gospel rock so-called before the message and everybody out of their minds and people coming down and making a emotional have an emotional experience and making a false profession. What we need to do is get out of the entertainment business and get back to doing it the Bible way. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, that's what's happening here, and thank God it worked, and it'll still work today. And then, thank God, this is the kind of church that we need to be in. Christians, we need to be not the ones that are locally focused only or foreign field only, but the churches that are reaching both, home and abroad. That's the kind of church we need to be, and individuals. This is God's will and God's plan, because the fields are white in the harvest. Jesus said that. He said that 2,000 years ago. He said the laborers were few 2,000 years ago. And you know what the population is today and how great the need is today. Evangelize or fossilize. And missionaries need help. They deserve help, and many of them sacrifice much or even all for the gospel's sake. So they're despised in a lot of places. A lot of churches you go to, if you said, "I'm a missionary," they'd look down their nose at you. But we ought to say, "Thank God for you. You're going in my place." Amen. You're going in my place. You've obeyed the call. You trust in God. And we'll pray for you. We'll help you. I like what the rescue team said. The captain said, the waters are stormy and the boat is capsized. And somebody said, "Don't go." And he said, we don't have to make it back. We just only have to try. We only have to go. Do what we can, regardless of the result. I like that. Amen. America used to be a mission field. It's becoming a mission field again, isn't it? Sure it is. I'm trying to remember the man's name. When George Whitefield prayed in the 1740s in the eastern part of North Carolina, he said this state was a wilderness, heathen, no Christians in North Carolina, no churches. He prayed for a John the Baptist, for God to raise up a John the Baptist for North Carolina. And guess who God sent about 15 years later? Shubal Stearns came outside of Burlington, 1755, and started the Sandy Creek Baptist Church with less than 20 members. And that church grew by hundreds. And God called men to preach, and they reached out all around Hall River and all around central North Carolina and down into Georgia and Tennessee and Virginia and all around. And thank God, by the 1820s, there were 2,000 churches that had come out of that one mother church at Sandy Creek. Sounds like God answered somebody's prayer. Sounds like God did an amazing thing. One man praying and one missionary coming. And thank God, here we are 275 years later, and this is still the Bible Belt, because one man, thank God Almighty, one man came to North Carolina. What could God do with a church that was willing and a family that was willing and one man that was willing to pray and give and go? And that's our heritage tonight. So thank God for churches that try to do both. And you know, when missionaries start churches, they teach those churches to support missionaries so that they also support missionaries. And that church is founded, becomes like the church back home. That's the way it's supposed to be. When John Williams went to the natives, started a church many years ago, those people said, "Natives now got saved." They said, "You know, we need to start paying our tithes, but we don't have no money." The missionary said, "What do you have?" They said, "We have chickens, we have pigs, we have coconuts." And the preacher said, "Bring that and we'll sell it and turn it into money." And they said, "We need to support missionaries." I'm talking about a bunch of natives that got saved and changed. And God put it on their heart to prosper God's work somewhere else. And they supported missions and brought their ducks and their honey for missions. And churches are to become self-supporting and take care of themselves and carry on God's work. So I want to thank God tonight for churches with a heart and a burden and a vision that are obeying the Great Commission and being a light at home at the same time and sending the gospel to those that need to hear it. Jesus loves the little children, and God so loves the world, and it's your business. They said to William Carey, the great Baptist missionary, they said, "Mind your own business." He said, "This is my business." He said, "I just cobble shoes to pay my expenses." Amen. It is your business. Amen. It is your business. You know why we're having to fight many nations of the world tonight? Because we didn't send them Jesus. We didn't send them Bibles, and they're living like heathen. And part of it's our fault. The church won't accept it. Most churches won't, but A.T. Pearson said that in 1850, we'll win them or we'll have to fight them, and that's exactly where we are tonight. Exactly. So, the islanders of the South Seas, the dwellers of Venezuela, Tibetans, Japanese, Russians, Aborigines, you name it, it's our business, should be on our heart to pray, to give, to go. I say last of all, it'd be a shame to do nothing, wouldn't it? If the neighbor's house was on fire and you said nothing and did nothing and didn't holler and scream and beat on the door, that'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? To do nothing. To defy the Great Commission. To turn your head even though 3 million people are going to hell every month. That's a crime, and that's a shame. People are deceived by religion. 1 billion Hindus, 1 billion Buddhists, 1 billion Roman Catholics, plus billions of others all going to hell. Without a Bible, without the gospel, churches without compassion. So, what kind of Christian are we? What kind of church are we? Who do you need to reach this week? This very week. On the tombstone of Cecil Rhodes, it says there's so much to do and so little done. So little done. So little done. No wonder so many people are going to be saved during the tribulation. Read Revelation, you'll see it, chapter 6, 7. Millions getting saved in tribulation. Why? They all miss the rapture. Why? Why'd they all miss the rapture? Because they wasn't saved. It's a lost world we're living in. Do you know that? It's a lost world. It'd be better to get saved tonight than get saved in the tribulation and get your head cut off. Amen? The sooner you get saved, the better. The sooner, the better.